banging the gavel with only moderate force today. The Senate will come to order, and we will begin with our prayer by Pastor Gok, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
From the 121st Psalm we hear, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Almighty God, we trust your word, and during all the travel we are about this session, we ask that you watch our going out and our coming in. Bring us safely home to loved ones this day, and guide our thoughts and responsibilities that are before us. May we be found in your house of prayer, and our worship to you in your honor and praise be acceptable to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lavoda, Libla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Riddle, Romine, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
A quorum is present. The Senate is now in session. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, thank you. After we start reading the journal, I'm going to recognize the Senator for the 23rd, and
okay.
Then after that recognition, we'll ask to approve the journal. So
okay.
If you could start
read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, 98th General Assembly of the State of Missouri.
The chair recognizes the senator from the 23rd. For what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent of the Senate to correct the Senate Journal for Wednesday, January 7th, 2015, page 58, line 34, by inserting immediately after HCR 1 the following.
Senator,
send your correction
forward,
you.
Please, via one of the doormen. And we will read the correction. Read the correction, proposed correction to the journal.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 1. Be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the 98th General Assembly, first regular session of the State of Missouri, the Senate concurring therein, that the House of Representatives and the Senate convene in a joint session in the hall of the House of Representatives at 7 p.m. Wednesday, January 21st, 2015, to receive a message from His Excellency, the Honorable Jeremiah W. J. Nixon, Governor of the State of Missouri, and be it further resolved that a committee of 10 from the House be appointed by the Speaker to act with a committee of 10 from the Senate, appointed by the President pro tem, to wait upon the Governor of the State of Missouri and inform His Excellency that the House of Representatives and Senate of the 98th General Assembly, first regular session, are now organized and ready for business, and to receive any message or communication that His Excellency may desire to submit, and that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives be directed to inform the Senate of the adoption of this resolution, and further correct same page, line 38, by inserting immediately after House Concurrent Resolution Number 2 the following. House Concurrent Resolution Number 2, be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the 98th General Assembly, first regular session of the State of Missouri, the Senate concurring therein, that the House of Representatives and the Senate convene in joint session in the hall of the House of Representatives at 10 a.m. Thursday, January 22nd, 2015, to receive a message from the Honorable Mary R. Russell, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the State of Missouri, and be it further resolved that a committee of 10 from the House be appointed by the Speaker to act with a committee of 10 from the Senate, appointed by President pro tem, to wait upon Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the State of Missouri and inform Her Honor that the House of Representatives and the Senate of the 98th General Assembly, first regular session, are now organized and ready for business and to receive any message or communication that Her Honor may desire to submit, and that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives be directed to inform the Senate of the adoption of this resolution.
Senator from the 23rd, you have a motion.
Yeah, I sent it forward. Mr. President, I had requested unanimous consent to adopt the change.
Hearing no objection, unanimous consent is accorded you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, I would ask the journal be approved. It is open, fully read.
And those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Approval of the journal is, as amended, is agreed to. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joining me on the side gallery is my wife, Robin, my daughter, Savannah, and my son, Grant. My wife supports this career in public service, and as everyone on this floor knows, that is a difficult thing to do. And I just ask the body to make them feel welcome today as they're in the Capitol.
Let's welcome the fine family of the senator from 7th. Please rise for recognition.
Pages for the day, without compensation.
The young people will be made pages to serve under compensation to be paid by the senator from the 7th. Further introductions. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. For what purpose does Senator from Clay arise?
Mr. President, point of personal privilege.
Senator will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's with a heavy heart that I inform the Senate this morning that our friend Bill Schwartz passed this morning. Bill was the longtime director of the Missouri Local Government Employees Retirement System. He was married to Sandy Schwartz for 40 years and was the father of my former chief of staff. So my thoughts and prayers are with the Schwartz family this morning, and I would ask for a moment of silence from the Senate.
Let's join in a moment of silence for departed Mr. Schwartz. Thank you. Thank you, Senator, for bringing that to our attention. We are on the order of business of petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolution. Senator from Buchanan.
To speak on a point of personal privilege.
Proceed, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak directly to the protesters who were here yesterday. I talked to my spouse overnight and kind of expressed to her how I was feeling about that, and she urged me to stand up today and say a few words about that. What I got from it yesterday was that there are a lot of people who feel oppressed, and I get that message. And I want to tell those people that I believe that every senator in the chamber wants to help them. We don't want people to feel oppressed, but I came away from there not knowing exactly what they want. Last year, when we had the Medicaid protesters, I knew what they wanted. They wanted us to expand Medicaid, and we weren't doing that. And they had asked us to do that, and they were expressing frustration that we weren't giving them what they wanted. But yesterday, we had protesters, and I don't honestly know what they want. What public policy thing do they want us to do for them? They haven't come to us and asked us to do anything, so they came and they expressed their frustration, but I don't know what it's about. And so I want them to know that several of the senators in the room here have introduced measures already to help them. And I would ask them to please come to us and tell us what you want. Do you want us to pass a bill that makes life better in some way? If so, come to my office and tell me what it is. But some of the members of our body expressed to me that they were feeling some anger over that. And so I want them to know that if you will come to us and tell us what you want, then we will consider it. Now, we may not do exactly what you want, but at least you will not be eliciting anger from us, which doesn't help the situation. It doesn't further your cause. So my request would be that before you come and disrupt our proceedings again, please come and participate in the process. Tell us what you want, and let us have an opportunity to consider it. And then, if we fail to make any meaningful change that helps your lives, then come and protest, and we'll feel better about it. And that's really all I had to say. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. The Senator from the 14th is on her feet.
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Does the Senator yield?
Yes.
If he yields, you may inquire.
Senator, I would like to first thank you for articulating the feelings that you had yesterday. It is a very important question. From day one, August 9th, I knew that the way that our young people were responding was indicative of the level of education they have been receiving. Last year, we tried to deal with that. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of hurt. There is a lot of anger. There is a lot of hurt going on right now. And the injury has occurred again and again, especially with our governor and the way he's responded to these people who have felt oppressed, who have been attacked, who have been targeted. I wouldn't even say that because this group of people, for the most part, live in poverty. Poverty is not the reason why Michael Brown was killed. It's not the reason. Not the reason. We have a systematic problem that exists in multiple institutions, including the one in which we serve. But the lack of education is the foundation of everything on all sides. Ensuring that our police officers know what the Constitution means and how it protects everyone. The education of young people in an area that has been deprived, them not knowing what their constitutional rights are, them not having the ability to articulate the feelings that they have and try to figure out the pathways in which to get the outcome that they want and deserve. So at the very beginning, I was part of, you know, my constituents. I felt as though you have to do what Jesus would do, be among the people. And I said that during veto session. I say that now. And then my mom, you know, put me to the side and she said, and I'll tell you what she said, you guys are going to appreciate that. She even gave me a book. And she said, you cannot be an activist and go back into that chamber. You have to be a senator. Because if you take that anger that you have while you've been on those streets and you bring it into this chamber, then your colleagues will not have any respect for that anger that you share. So I had to separate myself. And what I chose to do is teach. I started teaching my constituents about what civic engagement is all about. Many of my constituents didn't know who their council members are. They didn't know who their mayors were. But it's indicative of the education that they're getting. Indicative of the education. And that's why I have actually evolved on how I feel about education and making sure we provide access to every child, regardless of where they live. And for those people who want to keep the status quo, those are the people who want to manipulate the system so that they can operate as everything is normal, status quo. Those are the status quo people. The status quo has failed our society. The status quo is not creating the best and the brightest for this state. I had a long conversation with my constituents and whoever's on my personal Facebook, you can go and watch. I asked, for minorities, professional people, why are you still here? And there were people who don't usually respond on my Facebook who chose to start responding, who said, I'd rather leave because there isn't opportunity. One of the reasons why we don't have a lot of opportunity for communities that look like mine, again, is because of the lack of education and the people who want to maintain the status quo. And so a lot of our leaders, and I don't always want to speak on behalf of protesters, but as I try to understand where they're coming from, they don't want a leader. Everyone's a leader. You know, in politics, it's very easy to figure out who the leader is, chop off their head, and then everything is just swept under the rug. There are a lot of people in St. Louis. There are some people in rank and file in St. Louis who want to sweep the issue under the rug. This is the greatest opportunity for the state of Missouri to come together, all of us. Whether you're from rural Missouri, or if you're from urban Kansas City, or if if you're from Independence. I think this is the opportunity where we can rise above our political aspirations or our philosophies that we have and become a better state. Because if one part of this state is injured, then that means another part of the state is going to be injured. And as our protesters are trying to figure out what's going on, and when I say our protesters, I'm not talking about the agitators who have created chaos, who have looted, because I do not support those people. I think they all should go to jail. The people who burned the building where I teach civic engagement, they need to go to jail. The people who have looted, they need to go to jail, and justice needs to serve them like justice serves everyone else. But for those peaceful protesters, which are the majority of people, because they don't know the law, their thinking is, okay, we just want to be treated right. Well, what does that mean? So I think as I've been going through this, defining better what deadly force is. And I know that there are a lot of different opinions about deadly force, and I don't want to do an overhaul. I'm not trying to be like some liberals are and just demand 100% change, and I know that we can't do that in this body, but I believe in the state of Missouri, we always seek balance. And I think we can, in this body, create a balance where everyone is given an opportunity to still go through the legal process. And that's one issue. I believe that we do need to deal with grand juries.
Well, Senator, I thank you for your thoughtful words, and I hope that you received what I said as an invitation to them, expression of anger. I would like us to invite them to come to us and help us to make their lives better.
Well, I'm very grateful for your sensitivity. And, you know, the one thing I would urge is let's not respond like the governor did. Let's not respond like he did. These are human beings, and this could be your grandchild. This could be your son. What happened in Ferguson can also happen in rural Missouri. You don't have to be black for this to happen to you. It can happen anywhere. But I think that the temperament for the majority of people in this body understand the sensitivity and approach that we need to go forward to produce some change. And I will tell you, there have been several people. The senator from Green came to the district, spent a couple of days talking to my constituents this summer. The senator from the 15th. Spend several days in my district talking to my constituents. The senator from the 8th came to my district, spoke to my constituents. I've had a lot of senators in here come and talk, feel how others are feeling. And so that's why I think engagement is very important, but also understand that this is a different culture of people. Just like they didn't understand the culture of this body, of this chamber, a lot of people here don't understand their culture, and it's the connectivity is my responsibility. I have to make sure they know what is the culture, what are the rules of this chamber, this beautiful chamber, that makes us equal. We are all equal regardless of if you had to run and raise $1 million to win the seat that you're sitting in right now, or $38,000. We are equal in this chamber. It doesn't matter where we come from, we are all equal in this chamber. But we have rules, and our rules guide how we do things here. They don't know that. They don't know their constitutional rights. They don't know what we know. But I also want to encourage you, like other senators in this body have, please try to understand their culture and their sensitivity. I never thought, ever, that I would be in a room with people who have been felons, who want change. I've had gang members who literally said, I'm tired of being in the gang. I'm tired of being a gang member, and I want a change. I want to make my community better. There are people who say, I didn't know that there would be an opportunity for me because I thought I was going to die at 21 years old. And they're saying now, I want to live. I want my son to live. I want my son to have an opportunity that I didn't have. There are people who have literally changed their lives because of what happened on August 9th. This is what we ask for. We ask for some kind of message from God for that, so that we can become better people. And what happens is the gift from Michael Brown to make us all aware
of our roles and responsibilities in society. And yet there's a disconnect, but there doesn't have to be a disconnect whatsoever. Because I know there's compassion in every senator's heart. Every senator in this room has compassion, every one of us. And there are some issues where we will not agree, and we will respectfully disagree. We will get heated at times on certain issues that we believe in, and it's okay because that is part of the democratic process. But what we are talking about today is the welfare of our state. It's the welfare where every man, every woman has a chance to succeed. And to have the sea change of opinion, to have young people say, I don't want to die, I don't want to commit crime anymore, I want to get an education, means something. There, now, the people who are acting crazy, you know, justice needs to be served. But for those who are just hanging by a thread of hope, who want to make a change so that we can have a strong Missouri, we've got to do our best to understand them. And I will tell you, there are people, again, elected, who want to maintain the status quo. And for those people who want to maintain the status quo, it will be the detriment to our state. It will be the detriment to our state. You know, one thing that I found out, I want everyone to hear very closely, the enrollment of international students at Washington University and UM St. Louis has declined dramatically. Digit percentages. Also, our revenue in the state because of Ferguson has declined. If that is happening for the entire state, that means that we must do something and we must act because we have to have a thriving economy in this state. And if we're spending $12 million for security, we all know that our governor failed. We all know that he never had a strategy. But let's not be Governor Nixon, who is ignorant to the concerns of people who have been oppressed for generations. Let's show that we have kinder, gentler hearts, and we have compassion where he does not have compassion. This is one of those sermons when we go to church on Sunday and our, you know, pastor or whoever tells us, listen, have compassion for the poor. Have compassion for the people who don't have the same experiences as we do, because they don't. And I know in your districts, each of you, there are people who have much less than what you have. And I never thought that we would be in a place, I never thought that I would be in a place where I'd have to say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? This would go to those who are the most diseased, the ones who are experiencing trials and tribulations, people who we don't identify with necessarily, but he went to those people anyway, and he held them. You know, I told you I have held grown men crying. I've held back young children who wanted to attack police officers, and I took them back. You know, there's something that came up. It's amazing. I ended up having, some people know that I curse like a sailor, but I ended up being surrounded by pastors. It was the greatest gift. And they just said, she just has this mouth on her. But they guided me, and there's a lesson that I learned, standing in the gap, the very important principle, standing in the gap of those who have nothing versus those who have everything, standing in the gap of those who have no access and those who have access, standing in the gap to ensure that people have every single tool and resource so that they can succeed and be the best that they can be. As a body, must stand in the gap and ensure that we have a better society. If we have a better society, a better St. Louis, we have a better Missouri. And this is the opportunity where all of us can come together with our multiple differences in opinion and say we have to do what's right for the state. And yes, we may not understand these gang members and these felons and all these others, but they want to make a change. And if they want to make a change, let us give them a pathway. And let's not be inauthentic like our governor. He's completely inauthentic, completely. Let's show that we have compassion. That's why I urge all of you, Republican, Democrat, let's show that we are better than our governor. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 5th, what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield your colleague from the City of St. Louis?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. First and foremost, I would like to thank you for sending such a powerful message to the protesters. Now, your question was, what do they want? Well, I have spoken with many of the protesters since August the 9th, and I can tell you exactly what they want. They want a special prosecutor because they feel like having a prosecutor within the municipality whereabout you have a police-involved killing, that there will be no impartiality. They would not be impartial because of the relationship that law enforcement and prosecutors have within the county or municipality. And I think that's a fair ask.
Well, I have a question. Is that something that we can give them?
Absolutely. I mean, we have several bills out that many have, well, several bills that was filed dealing with a special prosecutor. And then they also want to tighten up the lethal force, deadly force language. The language is way too broad. It's not well defined. It says that you can use deadly force whenever you feel necessary, whenever the law enforcement feels it's necessary, immediately necessary. Well, the question is, what does that mean? Or you can use deadly force if you are a felon. So if you're a felon, you can actually use deadly force. We would like to have that language, I would, as well as the protesters, tightened up. The world is watching this Capitol in the state of Missouri. So it is incumbent upon us to set the tone and begin to bridge the gap of divide. We truly have a divided state right now. And until we are really ready and able and willing in this chamber to roll up our sleeves and change the face, change the image, or change the picture that's in the frame that everyone is seeing right now, until we're able to do that, we're going to continue to see the unrest in this Capitol as well as in the streets in the city of St. Louis. We can tone it down by what we do in this chamber. So as leaders, I think it's very important for us to step up to the plate. Now, many of the colleagues, my colleagues here that I spoke with, many of them believe that it's not in our backyard. We don't have anything to do with Ferguson. We're just going to let that die down without getting involved. Well, let me tell you this here. The economic engine, the economic train, it's off track right now. When you talk to the visitors and convention, Katie Ratliff, and you hear about individuals basically telling the city that they don't want to have their conventions in the city of St. Louis, or when you talk to individuals at the universities and they say that the students are backing up, they don't want to come to the city of St. Louis and go to the different universities, we have a serious problem. And again, until we are willing, ready, and able to step up to the plate and begin to change the dynamics here, only then will we see a reduction in unrest. So we have a lot of work to do. I think that we can do a special prosecutor. I think that we can get that done here. But individuals, they must be willing to listen to the cry of the people outside. The lethal force, I think we can tighten that language up. Municipalities, municipal or reform, that's something that we can get done. But we have to be, again, willing to do that. And we have to be the leaders here. We have to provide leadership. And so I am asking my colleagues to work with me, because I am hearing the cries, and those cries are loud, and it's getting even louder. And it's not just in Ferguson. I mean, it's throughout the world. I mean, we were laughing stocks throughout the world as a result of what happened on August the 9th and how we responded. So let's lead, and let's set the tone here. Thank you very much again for sending that powerful message to the protesters.
We're on the order of business of petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. The senator from Johnson was the first on his feet audible to the chair. For what reason do you rise?
Introduction of bills.
Send your bills forward. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill number 207, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to withholding tax.
Senator, do you care to explain that bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. That is an act relating to withholding tax.
Secretary, please read the second bill. Okay. Further introduction of bills. The senator from Barrie.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Send those bills forward. Secretary, please read the bills.
Senate Bill number 208, introduced by Senator Sater, an act relating to beef commodity merchandising program fees.
You care to explain that bill?
Necessary.
Please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 209, introduced by Senator Sater, an act relating to livestock activities.
You care to explain that bill, Senator?
No explanation necessary.
Further introduction to bill. Senator from Boone. Send it forward.
It does not require explanation.
Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 210, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to reimbursement allowance taxes.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from the 13th from North St. Louis County.
Two bills.
Send those bills forward. Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 211, introduced by Senator Walsh and Senator Dixon, an act relating to the address confidentiality program administered by the Secretary of State.
Care to explain that bill, Senator?
No explanation necessary.
Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 212, introduced by Senator Walsh, an act relating to the address confidentiality program.
Care to explain that bill?
Yes, Mr. President, it's a bill relating to the address confidentiality program. Thank you.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Cape.
I have a bill.
Send it forward. Secretary, upon receipt of said bill, please read it.
Senate Bill number 213, introduced by Senator Wallingford, an act relating to juvenile courts.
No explanations necessary.
Further introduction of bills. Oh, sorry, Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 214.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from Newton. Oh, sorry, Senator from the 23rd. What reason do you rise?
I have a rule change related to committee structure. I'd like to send it forward. It has to be printed in the journal.
Senator, we need to be brought to that order of business by the leader. We're on the order of business of introduction of bills.
Right. Okay, I wasn't. Okay.
Senator from Newton County.
Mr. President, I would ask that you go to the order of business that the President pro tem desires.
With hearing no objection to moving to the order of business of resolutions, we are back on the order of business.
Thank
of
you.
Resolutions.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Senator from Newton. I sent that resolution forward for the rule change for the committee structure. Ask that it be printed in the journal.
It shall be printed in the journal.
Thank you.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also would like to refer the gubernatorial appointments appearing on pages 33 to 57 of the Senate Journal for Wednesday, January 7th, 2015, to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments. And please refer Senate Concurrent Resolutions 1 and 2 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics.
They shall be referred. Senator from Newton County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of announcements, and I have an announcement.
Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask the body to wish the Senator from Webster happy birthday. He just turned 21, and we're glad to have him in this body.
Well, let's all join the Senator from Newton in wishing the Senator from Webster a happy birthday. Further announcements. Senator from Webster.
Mr. President, a point of personal privilege.
Proceed.
I'd like to thank the Senator from Newton and the committee that so wonderfully decorated the chamber to honor my birthday today. Thank you very much.
Further announcements. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business come for the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, January 12, 2015.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. All those of the opinion of the motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned before p.m. next Monday.